Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. Thank y'all for joining us in the Sports Happy Hour this afternoon. We are your hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Hope everybody's enjoying their MLK holiday today. Mm-hmm. We haven't made it to the parade yet. We'll see if we make it out there, but we know what all the talk is about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's get it cracking.
So, yes, if y'all have comments, y'all want to speak on it, because we know plenty of y'all got something to say. I seen Twitter. Mm-hmm. We know people got something to say. Oh, yeah. Let us know. BrothersLayman at gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at BrothersLayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, we know y'all got something to say, so definitely leave us a message. We'll get back at you and speak on it on the next show.
That's what's up. All right, let's start with the first game. Duel of the quarterbacks. Brady Manning, 258. It was one-sided.
Yes, sir.
Quarterback's concern.
Let's get it cracking. Let's just start it off, baby. Denver Broncos, Super Bowl bound, baby. Let's get it cracking. Thank you very much, Denver. Pat myself on the back. My squad's going. It's about that time. Peyton Manning handled his business. But once again, got to give love to the offensive line and the defense, because the defense held it down and the offensive line let Peyton get hit. How many times, folks? None. Fool didn't get touched. So, loving it. And we looking ready to roll to bring another one. It's so reminiscent of when John Elway won the Super Bowl. It's just, it's so weird. Feels like we're destined to get there. So, loving it. I'm feeling good, feeling great. Look, got to give a shout out to New England, of course. You know, they made it to the championship. Nobody thought they'd get this far with all the weapons they lost. They lost another one, Aqib Talib, in the game. And maybe a turning point, maybe not. But all that matters is that score at the end. Broncos won. Holla.
Yeah, man, it was what? 23-3. And then, you know, finally, of course, you know, Denver was playing basically prevent defense. Yep. Not to let them get any real big plays. So they were moving the chains on. I'm like, why the hell y'all playing prevent defense against Brady? I mean, I understand. But I was like, you just going to let this fool keep dinking and dunking and scoring touchdowns? Hurry up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, first, basically three quarters, he ain't do nothing. Couldn't get in sync at all. No rhythm. And, you know, let's start with Denver. Peyton Manning, 32 of 43, 400 yards, two touchdowns. Like I said, not touched once. I think he said he was only hurried one time, and that was it. I mean, they line protected him. Didn't give him the best protection. You ain't touching him. Had time all day. And this is what we say. With these quarterbacks, you give them time, they're going to pick you apart.
Yep.
And that's what they did.
And Peyton, I mean, at this point, I feel everybody should feel, I'm sure, he has solidified his MVP status for this season without question. I mean, a Super Bowl ring would just be the icing on the cake. And if he does come out and hypothetically does win the Super Bowl, I mean, this is the best quarterbacking season of all time, at least that I've ever seen.
Yeah, statistically wise, it is.
It's crazy.
I mean, look, and then, of course, his weapons. Demaryius Thomas stepped up, made a name for yourself. Everybody know Demaryius Thomas now. 7 receptions, 134 yards and a touchdown, almost 20 yards a catch. Julius Thomas didn't play in the last game.
Thank you.
8 for 85. Eric Decker, 5 for 73. Wes Welker, 4 for 38. Jacob Tammy had a touchdown.
I'm just saying. We could just throw them all out there. There's just so many weapons at Peyton's disposal. It's not even funny. And we didn't even mention Noshon and Monty Ball, the running backs, who combined to run for over 100 yards. I mean, it was nuts.
Yeah, and then once they got close enough, I mean, pretty much they let Peyton Manning do passing all game. But, you know, once they started getting in the red zone, they started running the ball, mm-hmm. keeping it honest. you know, and good things have happened.
And I love the aggressiveness by Coach Fox and the offensive coordinator, Adam Gase. Keep the foot on the pedal. We know John Fox has you know, in past been a little conservative. That was a lot of the issue that people had last year when they lost to Baltimore, is that he got a little too conservative, trying to run. You saw this time, even though they, you know, the game was getting close and whatnot, same kind of situation that they did with San Diego, where he threw on third and long. You know, instead of just running the ball like he used to, he actually went at their throats and, you know, put the ball in Peyton's hands, and you see what happens. Magic happens. And then the defense. Defense was just on him. Two sacks, pressuring Brady all game. Defensive backs, you know, even without Chris Harris, Champ Bailey, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, shutting these cats down. Tom Brady, I personally believe the fact that they were running so well and so much, and Tom Brady not having to throw as much, I think took a little bit of his rhythm away. But, I mean, for the most part, you got to give credit to Denver's defense. They did what they had to do. They stopped the run. They kept Tom Brady off the field and kept giving the ball back to Peyton. And that's what we need to do. That's what you need your defense to do. And much love to them.
Yeah, they had the ball 35 minutes, almost 36 compared to 24. They couldn't, you know, that vaunted rushing game from the last week versus Indianapolis. Nothing this week.
Nada.
64 yards. Brady just couldn't click at all. He just could not get into a rhythm. I know everybody want to blame the receiver. He don't have no good one, blah, 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 whatever. Julian Edelman had 10 for 89 in the touchdown. But that was it. Your next one is Shane Vereen. I mean, Aaron Dobson, nothing. Danny Amendola got targeted once.
Shutting him down,
didn't
son.
Didn't catch that. He wasn't a factor at all.
Shut him down.
So the defense played a great part in that. All right, so now let's get into some of these controversial topics. First off,
yeah, Aqib Talib
injury. And, you know, we already got Belichick coming out, press conference, and immediately, like,
and bitching.
That was a deliberate play.
I'm like, look, man, but they run similar offenses. Both of them run plays where wide receivers will throw picks, you know, for the other players or whatever you want to call them. And Wes Welker, that's what happened with Wes Welker. We see it all the time. But the fact that he got hurt and
he didn't go low. He didn't at all.
No, he didn't. He didn't go low. And should he have been penalized? Perhaps. But I mean, that's as far as it really would have gone. I mean,
you seen the play. If you watched it earlier, Julian Edelman did something similar on Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie.
Exactly.
So, and he did it. He even leaned in. Wes Welker looked like he was actually doing a pick. You know, Julian Edelman looked like he went shoulder first at Cromartie. So I'm like, don't act like
your players don't be doing it. Exactly. And I mean, I have a feeling Bill Belichick's a little tick because it was Wes Welker. I mean, let's be honest. Wes Welker, they let him go in the offseason. He went to the one team, I'm sure, where Bill Belichick was like, fuck, you had to go to that team, didn't you? So he goes with Peyton Manning. They just happened to end up in the AFC Championship against one another. Welker lays the hit on Aqib Talib and takes him out of the game. Which to me makes it a bigger factor, the fact that he got hurt. Because it's like, had he not gotten hurt, or had it not been Wes Welker, would we be having this discussion? Don't know. But
it seemed real necessary. And of course, we knew after this talk, let's see what Skip Bayless had to say.
Of course, his first words. Man, if Aqib Talib didn't get hurt. Like, oh my.
Okay.
So we don't have anybody else but Demaryius Thomas. Is that what you're trying to say, Skip Bayless? Because I'm like, if he stayed in the game, that would have been the only person he probably would have taken out. We still got Julius Thomas. Still got Wes Welker. Still got Eric Decker. Right. It's not like he's our only freaking weapon. So
right. So all that excuse that some Patriots fan may be using, that don't work.
Secondly, he keeps the lead on play offense. So he has nothing to do with your offense being out of sync and doing absolutely nothing.
Right. Both of these defenses were banged up. Now if Denver had lost their next best player on defense in the game, and then they lose, and then we say, oh, well, if so-and-so, if Rodgers-Cromartie didn't get hurt, We would have won the game. Y'all would have been like, so what? Look, we don't have nobody on defense.
I could have been like, well, Chris Harris got hurt and tore an ACL last game.
Mm-hmm. We could have used that.
But no, I mean, it wasn't no excuses. Our team came out. They battled hard. They fought. And shit, they won. Mm-hmm. They worked their tails off.
It wasn't cold. They didn't have that advantage. That running game ain't do nothing. Y'all got to just look. You met. They didn't win. Okay, yeah,
they're bitter.
They didn't win.
And I think it hurts a little bit more that yes, Peyton beat you. Yeah. Let's be honest. When it comes to Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, there is a rivalry there.
Yep.
They bring out the best, and sometimes they bring out the worst in each other. And Peyton won this time. So, there's a little bitterness there.
Right.
Because they always beat Peyton.
Right. And the whole record thing is like, all right, well, one, it's a lot of that's the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They're now 2-2 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now Manning holds a 2-1 edge in the conference games.
Exactly.
You know, everybody, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if he don't win? So now, we're going to get into it. But so now, Peyton has slayed the demon again.
Yep.
Because it wasn't like he ain't beat Brady beforehand.
Yep.
Again.
Because
I know you said if he wins, you know, he in top three.
Without question.
Who would you put in the other two? I'm just wondering. Who else do you feel is in the top three? Is there one person that for sure is in the top three?
Joe Montana, for sure, is in the top three.
Okay.
I mean, he's just incredible. Just an amazing quarterback, no question whatsoever.
If this game, does this now put Peyton Manning ahead of Tom Brady?
No. He has to win one more Super Bowl, at least for me. I mean, Tom Brady doesn't have the numbers that Peyton got, but he got the titles. And I think he has three of them, so I'm like, Peyton only has one. You give Peyton at least two titles to go along with all the accolades and the numbers and everything, then yes, he jumps ahead of Tom Brady. But the fact that he only has one, I gotta hold off right now.
Okay, because Brady has a lot of the playoff wins.
Exactly, exactly.
He's been to Super Bowl 5 times.
Exactly. But I'm like,
I didn't diss John Elway. I'm like, John Elway went to Super Bowl 3 times. Yes, he lost, but you've been to the Super Bowl 3 times.
Yeah, and then he won 2 to end his career.
Right. And that's just the way it is. Like, when we were young, it was Joe Montana, Dan Marino.
Yep.
And it was Dan Marino was the guy, and it seemed like all of a sudden, once it became a quarterback league, and numbers just started getting broken, now we don't even talk about Dan Marino.
I still mentioned Dan Marino as one of the better ones, but I mean, the fact that he does not have a ring is what separates him from everybody else.
And most people have your multiple ring tier.
Yeah.
You have your one ring tier and you have your no ring.
Yep.
So even now it's like, even if you get one, okay, now you've kind of put yourself in the lock, but you only have one. And if you ain't got multiple.
And sometimes it depends, because I mean, you look at a guy like an Eli Manning. He has two rings, but I mean, he's not a guy that you really talk about as one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So, I mean, like I said, with the accolades and Peyton looking like he's about to get what, his fifth MVP? I mean, if he wins a Super Bowl, gets his fifth MVP award, all the numbers and records he's broken, I mean, he arguably could go down as the best of all time without question. Considering also that he basically he dictates what's gonna happen on the field.
Yep.
He has brought an element that nobody has ever seen before at quarterback, where you got a guy who literally audibles probably every single play. You only used to see Cavs do that when it was just like, okay, the defense is gonna do this. All right, let's change it real quick, such and such. He changes it every play.
Yeah, and he's the only guy who's done it. He's the only guy I can see doing that, who's done it, and who's
going to do it. Who will ever do it? You can't. I mean, and you heard Russell Wilson's comments yesterday in his press conference where he kind of, you know, he wants to be like a Peyton Manning one day, and he hopes to get there. And I'm like, Peyton's a different beast. I mean, he's a guy who, guys have said it, he's like a computer, and he will tell you what you're going to do before you're even doing it. You don't even have to move, and he knows what you're going to do. He's a different breed of animal, a different breed of quarterback. He's a number one. He was a number one overall pick. I mean, he got football in the bloodlines. And I mean, the whole argument with everybody was all his brother got more than him. If he gets another one and got as many as his brother, I mean, that argument is closed.
Yep.
So I mean, he's closing a lot of doors right now as far as these quote unquote bad criticisms that he takes. He's closing the door on all of them. Can't play in cold weather. He's closing the door on that. Yep. If he wins in New York in the cold, people can shut up about that one too.
Yep. Now, does Tom Brady's legacy take a little hit?
No.
Now he's won three. It's been a minute.
It's been a while since he has won. But as far as no, I don't think this loss, diminishes his legacy at all. Considering the season, I think it might improve his legacy a little bit. I mean, he literally had nothing. He had nothing. I mean,
and he's put up kind of the worst numbers.
Shane Vereen was out. Rob Gronkowski came and went. You lost Wes Welker, which was his security blanket.
You didn't bring back Brandon Lloyd.
So now he's working with Aaron Hernandez killed somebody. You got, Stephen Ridley's fumbling issues. They bring in LeGarrette Blount, who got let go by Tampa Bay, so you ain't thinking much of him. And then his old line gets hurt. His defense, he loses his two best linebackers. He loses his best defensive lineman. Aqib Talib's banged up throughout the season. He's dealing with a boatload of stuff. And, I mean, granted, yes, Peyton Manning had a boatload of weapons. And, I mean, Tom Brady plays in the system. And we've seen it year after year where you got guys who, by most standards, would be considered mediocre. But they come to New England and they turn into Pro Bowl-type players. I mean, I don't know if it's the system, if it's Tom Brady or what, but I mean, the fact that he was able to get them to an AFC Championship game with all the injuries, with, the group he had, I think speaks to how good he actually is.
Yeah, he's had a rough season. I don't think it diminishes his thing at all. I actually think this raises, actually, Belichick's legacy.
Because I'm like, you saw when they got him Randy Moss, he threw 50 touchdowns in a season. Right.
And he's had to kind of change it up and be more of a defensive-minded team and work with that and new guys, and he's got it done. So, yes, it is the system. Greg Popovich is the coach of my squad, so I love a coach who can change his system to adjust to his players and still get W's.
Exactly.
So, shout out to them. Belichick, we'll see what happens in the season. Calm your butt down. It wasn't no cheap shot. You're just upset and you're mad. And you're pissed off.
So. You're bitter, dude. Right. You're upset and you're mad, and that's fine. You can be upset.
All right. Now to the Smash Mouth, Ali Frazier, knocking fools out, matchup. Both of these defenses came to play.
Yep.
For real.
Yep.
They came with it.
They brought their A games.
I mean, it started off with a fumble.
This is what I said coming in. I thought it was going to come down, even though he had a great game, I thought it was going to come down to the quarterbacks. I thought it was just going to come down to Kaepernick and Wilson. I mean, you had two great running backs who, Gore was shut out. I thought they'd both be shut out. But Marshawn Lynch pulled off a fantastic run for his touchdown, which was unbelievable considering how big this guy is. But for the most part, it was down to the quarterbacks. It came down to the quarterbacks, and Russell Wilson made more plays than Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it boiled down to.
Yeah, that big throw for the touchdown to
fourth down.
Jermaine Kearse. Nasty.
That was part of that was a great throw because I mean, if you look at the pass, it literally hit the wide receiver in the numbers when he caught it. So I'm like, damn, that was accurate. But that also was a terrible play by the cornerback because he was all over him. I'm like, there's no way he should have caught that ball. No way he should have caught that ball. But it was a great play by Russell Wilson. He saw the flag. He knew but he had a free play. He chucked it up there, and it got there. I mean, he put a little mustard on that one and got it right where it needed to be. He placed it in the wide receiver's chest. He was just like, here, there it is in your chest. Just grab it now.
I mean, like you said, I thought the running games would be a big key. In case y'all hear that, that's two little boys playing in the background.
Children in the background.
So know how that go.
Mm-hmm.
Marshawn Lynch, 22 carries, 109 yards, touchdown. Mm-hmm. Went beast mode. Okay. And then Frank Gore, 11 carries, 14 yards.
Ugh.
So
that just
you look at that number right there, you're like, okay, it don't look good for Frisco, even though they was in it.
Yep.
Look at the quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, you know, 16-25, 215, a touchdown. The QBR matters to y'all. 38, almost 39. I don't had that initial fumble. I was like, is this a sign that y'all going to lose on the first play? Like, oop, I fumbled it away. However, after that, he had no more turnovers.
Nope.
After that. Now, Mr. Kaepernick, though, two interceptions, fumble, four quarters.
What did he throw?
14-24, 153, one touchdown, two interceptions. Touchdown was nice, though.
14 of 24 for 153 yards.
Yeah, that was a great throw to
That was a great throw to Anquan Boldin. That was a fantastic throw.
You know, people will say, well, he had 11 carries, 130 yards. You know, granted, 100 of that was like on two plays.
Yeah.
Early in the half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he only had, I think they said, 32 yards in the second half. And this was part of the question. Can he make the necessary throws to win the game? He wasn't able to.
And for those of y'all who listen, you guys know this is always my argument with these running, these kind of run first type quarterbacks, is that we don't know how good they are to be able to throw from the pocket. We don't know. I mean, you know, they make highlight plays, but I mean, look at the stats. 14 of 24 for 153 yards. That's a little over 50%. I mean, he's not really getting it done per se from the pocket. I mean, Russell Wilson has some pretty good passes himself, but I mean,
you know, we've said it. You said on here, both of these quarterbacks ain't that great. Both of these quarterbacks ain't that great.
No,
and it all came down to which quarterback is going to make the necessary plays to get their team to win. Russell Wilson made them. Colin Kaepernick, three turnovers in the fourth quarter. You're probably not going to win.
Yep. And Joe Montana echoes my sentiment. Montana came out and said it. He got to get better in the pocket.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, it's league now. It's just everybody want to scramble. But you have to make the plays in the pocket.
And it still comes down to the fundamentals.
Yes. One thing, guys, that people like about running quarterbacks is the ability to keep the play alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. You want your quarterback to be able to keep the play alive long enough to make the throw.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I started thinking, as we see these running quarterbacks, they all seem to have something in common. They have an actual running back.
Yep.
I don't know who you can say. Look, you got Russell Wilson, got Marshawn Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick got Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
RG3 had Alfred Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Tebow had Willis McGahee.
Mm-hmm.
Even Michael Vick, when he was doing it, he had
LeSean McCoy.
Yep. And he had a running game in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how many of these quarterbacks that run have no running game whatsoever? Zero. So that ought to tell you something, that if you ain't got no running back, you probably ain't going to be good of a scramble quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam Newton, he ain't got much.
Yeah.
But we see how much success he's had.
I mean, D'Angelo Williams is not sorry by any means. So,
you know, you have to win in the pocket. You have to just stay in there, make the necessary plays.
Yep.
And we've seen it. We've seen it done. We've seen it done in that game.
Time and time again. We see it all the time. So this is why I said I had to see Colin Kaepernick over a 16-game period. And, I mean, to me, he still has much, much room for improvement. He has to get much better. Granted, this is his second, straight season bringing a team to the Super Bowl, but like Chris said, he has a fantastic running back in Frank Gore. He has a top-5 defense. I mean, take those two things away from him, how is he going to perform? Yeah,
these two teams are built on defense and running. When I think of what's the best thing about these two teams, defense. Not Kaepernick, not their running game. I think of these two teams, I think of their defenses.
Yep.
And nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
You know, that's why I see the Broncos getting love, of course, because in the Super Bowl, it's all about the quarterback. And because we look at the teams and say, well, who's the star name of this team? And because, Peyton Manning clearly is the guy for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
You look on the other way around, it's not the quarterback. Oh, we have a problem.
I think this is fantastic. This is you getting the best offense against the best defense. And this is going to be great. I mean, you got two teams that respect the hell out of each other. They played each other in the preseason. It wasn't regular season. So, I mean, they have gone up against each other before.
Okay, before we get into the matchup, and we know we got 2 weeks, let's get into the topic everybody talking about.
Mr. Sherman.
Mr. Sherman. last play of the game.
Fantastic. Well,
basically the last throw for Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
Throws a fade route, one-on-one. He said he's only thrown to Sherman one other time, I guess, in that game. Now, when it was going, it looked like a touchdown. I was like, oh, snap, they about to win. Boop, Richard Sherman kind of falling back.
Fantastic
play. Hand out, throws it, taps it to his guy. That's it. Game over. Stadium goes nuts. Legion of Boom, all that. Gets up. Taps Crabtree on the butt.
Mm-hmm. A good game.
Want to shout out. Want to give him a handshake. What does Crabtree do? Mushes him in the face. So, what happens next? Up, choke sign.
Yep. Pointed at Kaepernick.
And then we had the comments.
And then you had the interview after the game. Right. And you know the broadcasting company was like, hey, go interview Richard Sherman right now because he's going to give you something good.
For the play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. And
let's send you down to the field and Aaron Andrews.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, and Joe, back over to you.
Y'all heard it.
Yep. I'm going to put some sorry receiver on me. You crazy?
Michael Crabtree, whack. You didn't think you was going to do something against me? What?
Mediocre at best.
Who you talking about? He's like, yeah, I know. Who you talking about? And if y'all seen the word, if somebody said, that nigga Crabtree. That's exactly what it looked like he was about to say.
Yep.
And he called himself, was like, Crabtree, talking all that mess, boy.
This is a kid, he's a Stanford grad. He's a very smart man, smart young man. He ain't a dummy by any means.
Compton, baby.
Hey, represent L.A. to the fullest, you know what I'm saying?
Number two in his high school class with a 3.9 GPA.
He ain't no dummy. Nope. I mean, I tweeted last night, he is one of the few players in the league. And that's like a handful of them that can talk any kind of smack and back it up. He has seemed to back up every single little bit of talk he has made. He backs it up with his play on the field. He does.
Yeah, that's how he plays. I don't think it's an indictment on his whole squad.
Mm-hmm.
He just plays with that fire and that passion. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a lot of people are like, oh, this is not classy. Oh, he's just a thug. I've seen him being called a nigga. He ain't, you know, all the racial. Here come the racists.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the racists out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he still got to go pick my cotton. I'm like, okay, y'all, what you mad?
Y'all ain't getting it. Yeah, like, I'm just.
Look, do you personally want a guy to come out and just bash his competitor? You don't really ask for that. But 99% of the time, we get the both teams play hard.
Hey, you hear the same thing over and over.
I gave 100%.
I gave 110%. But, I mean, I like it. I like the fact that he's very confident in himself. And, I mean, if you actually watch Richard Sherman play, he talks smack against cats who seem to kind of go at him. It doesn't seem like, I mean, yes, he chirps on the field and whatnot. But unless you seem to like really push him there, he's not going to go at you like that. Like the way he went after Crabtree was because of the way Crabtree pushed his face, you know, and because I mean, he was just trying to just give him some depth, like, you know, good game, hard fought, whatever, especially division rivals. It's like, dude, it's a battle, man.
We don't like you. And,
exactly.
You know, the more histories come out that this all just kind of started at a fundraiser for Larry Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to shake his hand, and Crabtree was talking mess about it's almost going to be a fight, and we're going to kick y'all asses and all that kind of stuff. So he's like, okay, I remember that. All right, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes to play. Of course, Crabtree, he only made one play.
Yeah, because y'all didn't throw a ball in his direction. Yeah, that's exactly why he made only one play. So right.
Now he's calling Kaepernick out. Now, granted, as a quarterback, you got to challenge the guy. You ain't got to challenge him all game.
No, of course
but
not.
But if
that'd
it's a 50-50 ball, we all know Kaepernick's favorite target is Crabtree, because Vernon Davis ain't do shit.
Nope.
Vernon Davis was nothing in this game. Yeah, well, let me even look at it. What do you have? Yeah,
two catches for 16 yards.
Three targets, nothing. They got physical with him, took him out of the game. So, he's going to go to Crabtree, of course.
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, I ain't mad. Like, this is what you want. This is what you want, people.
Yeah.
You want cats mic'd up. You want to get guys right after the dang game and emotions is high because a guy didn't act quote unquote classy or didn't make the class statement. Oh, now he a thug and he ain't nothing. I'm like, I just got beaten. I got beaten the team I don't like.
And I'm going to the Super Bowl.
This is the biggest game in my career.
And emotions are high.
Right. And I made the game saving play. And when I'm at least being like, I've been jawing at this dude all game. Hey, man, good game. You know, look, we don't like it. Nobody wants to talk mess and then lose and have to face the guy you've been talking mess to.
But, I mean, it all comes down to sportsmanship. And it looked like Richard Sherman was trying to extend a hand to say good game, hard-fought battle. And you got a guy in Crabtree who pushes his face like, Nick, fuck you, basically.
Right.
And when you have certain situations like that, and a guy like, and you do it to a guy like a Richard Sherman, who you already know is a hothead, what do you think's gonna happen?
Right.
Heck yeah, I'm gonna talk smack about this fool. I try to extend my hand to say good game, and he just pushes me away. Fine.
Right.
I give you something to talk. Right. I give y'all something to talk about. Then.
Crabtree is mediocre
at best. I so love
he's
it.
He's a top 15 wide receiver, not in my book. Damn.
That's why I love him, because I mean, and you've seen all the opportunity he has had at this point, and I've said it to Chris, the respect factor. He don't respect Michael Crabtree. To me, that's just what it is. He does not respect him. But leading up to the game with all the interviews and everything, I bet you he won't say one foul word about Peyton Manning because he respects the hell out of him.
Yeah, and the fact that his coach has clearly told him,
don't you dare say anything about Peyton Manning, get him pissed off.
You talk about what we gonna do. That it's gonna be.
Don't
tough.
You give this team no material, please. No.
We know he's gonna be confident, and we know if they do their job on defense, you know this is what he wants. He's not gonna talk like that because this is a guy like him. This is what you want. Yep. I'm the defensive guy, and I'm going up against the best offense. This is what I want to prove that we deserve to win the Super
Bowl.
Prove
that we the best.
We got to beat the best offense.
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens.
It's going
to
be fantastic.
I know, you know, I thought going into that game that whoever won out of NFC was going to come out and win it. I'm not going to make my pick till next episode.
Mm-hmm.
We know who you got.
Yep.
But, you know, I will say this. I'm loving it because – you know Peyton Manning is going to spend the next 2 weeks in front of a computer, television, monitor, just game taping, watching film, studying this defense.
Yep.
They're going to be doing the same thing.
They're going to be reading, looking at every single piece of film they can about this offense to see what they can do to stop it. And likewise for the defense for the Broncos. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at every piece of film and see what the hell they can do to stop Beast Mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because so far, can't nobody stop him.
No, and he's a big kid.
He's a big guy to take down. Granted, we got some big boys on the Broncos, but man, he is a load. We stopped LeGarrette Blount, but Marshawn Lynch ain't LeGarrette Blount.
No.
It's a whole different ball game.
You know he's getting 20 carries. Y'all could be up by 17.
It don't matter.
They running the ball still.
Yep. So.
And this is up for Russell Wilson. I mean, he's been a game manager. He's not making the mistakes, and that works, and I have no problem with it. So people stop crapping on the damn quarterback matchup. I like Russell Wilson. I think he's solid.
I think he's good.
And he can make the plays. That's all he got. All you're asking him to do is make the plays.
I mean, let's not forget, he's only in his second year.
Right.
I mean, he's still learning the game.
Right.
So
and we know he's going to feel the pressure. He hasn't thrown well. But I was like, hey, if his quarterback rate is 35 and they win, you think he's going to give a fuck? He's going to be like, Super Bowl ring.
And I'm like, you look at this team. The one thing a lot of people don't talk about, this team is fairly young. Russell Wilson's only in his second year. You know, Golden Tate is young. Marshawn Lynch is not even 30 yet,
Doug
I don't think.
Baldwin, Doug Baldwin, huge catch.
Doug Baldwin's a young guy. Richard Sherman's only 25 years old. They're a young team. So they're still growing and still learning the game. So they're only improving and getting better. That's the scary thing about Seattle. And I mean, with a guy like Richard Sherman, we all know he's going to be on Demaryius Thomas. He's 6'3", which means he got the height. He got the length to stick with the best of the best receivers. So is he the best cornerback at this point in time? Yeah. It was Revis Island. Revis Island went to Tampa Bay, and he looks whack. So yeah, it's Richard Sherman time.
Yeah, it was Revis Island back when they was.
It's Pee Wee Sherman time.
I love it, man. I can't wait. We know it's just going to be one game left.
And you, it's so great because you got the two opposite sides of the spectrum. You got the best offense. They're humble. You know, they don't speak a lot. Don't talk a lot of smack. You got the best defense who... Hey, let's be real. It's the Legion of Boom. It's defense. They physical. They violent. They talk all kinds of smack. Get up in your face.
Right.
And, I mean, it's two great coaches. Yeah. Pete Carroll's done a great job. Mm-hmm. John Fox has done a great job. And it's going to be a fun game to watch.
A lot of storylines. Weather is going to be key.
Yep.
And because, you know, for all the hype that Seattle fans should feel good, you ain't playing in Seattle in the Super Bowl. You are playing in New York. We know you are not the greatest on the road. At home, you're pretty much unbeatable, but you ain't playing at home.
Yep.
So.
Same with Denver.
Yep.
You guys aren't playing at home. We all know this stereotype about Peyton Manning playing in cold weather.
Yep. We probably going to be cold. Don't know if it's going to snow. Yep. You know, I don't know why the NFL wants to put the Super Bowl in cold weather damn games.
Should put that shit in Miami.
Some California, somewhere. San Diego, wherever the hell, just not there.
I think a lot of people are bitter also. It's a West Coast Super Bowl, baby.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, yeah, you got Denver, you know, a little further out. But, I mean, for the most part, it's a West Side Super Bowl over here. Mm-hmm. Your East Coasters suck. Yeah. No, I'm just playing. Much love to y'all in New York and all the towns over there. But I know y'all cold. We warm as hell over here on the West Coast. You got the AFC, the old AFC West division rivals going against each other. For those of y'all who forgot, Seattle was in the AFC West back in the day before they rearranged the divisions and all that. So yeah,
that'll be brought up too. So
it's going to be great.
Hey, do you like the fact that the Broncos and Seahawks are being real tight on giving out tickets for them games?
Yes. I thought that made a big difference, and I thought that was a fantastic, smart strategy by both teams. Why would you not want home field advantage? If you want home field advantage, that is home field advantage. You sell tickets to your fans. We just getting our fans. You New England fans want to come down. You Frisco fans want to come to the game. Find a way. But we ain't selling them to you. You better get your cousin who live in Seattle to go get you some tickets and mail them to you or something. Cause we ain't selling you nothing.
Yeah, I
loved it.
I wasn't too mad.
I loved it.
I would say as an out of state person who would want to go. Yeah, I'd probably be a little ticked,
okay. But
man, what the hell? But I'm like, they allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And if they allow to do it, I'm not particularly mad at them about it.
And let's adjust the rules because of it now.
Yeah, of course they are.
But you can't do that no more.
Speaking of press conferences, Cam Newton seemed to have gotten tired of all the talk he was getting and having to answer questions. He just got up and left.
He cried.
Yeah. Now, I heard it was toward, the end of his conference. I still wanted to read see the full presser in full and not just that clip. But I know you saw it and it was like...
It's the way he left because you have the situation where everybody's talking about the whole Colin Kaepernick doing his you know, Superman. Mocking him and all that jazz. And then you had Cam who was looking sad and, you know, and it's like, well, you know, it's not the first time somebody did it. And you see him take this like 5-second pause and then he doesn't know what to say. And then he just gets up and leaves and you're like... Hey, that's it. Like,
yeah, because when you were telling me, I was like, it's too hot to my head. My grandmama gave me that chain.
Yeah, he almost looks like a high schooler. I tweeted a high schooler who got like embarrassed in front of his whole class. Like, that's how he looked. He came off just like this embarrassed little kid. Like, man, he made fun of me.
You know, this
that's what it is.
When he looked on the sideline when they was getting their butts whipped. And he had that look.
They told him.
Look, we all know Cam can't hide his damn emotions. Nope. So when he's losing.
He got the towel over the head. Yeah, you already know what that means.
Looking sad and pathetic and upset. He just carries that on. I didn't like it because I'm like, dude, your team has gone pretty far.
Yeah, you've done a great job. Nobody thought y'all would get here.
Y'all finally made the playoffs. And you actually got to have home field. I didn't think he was better than the 49ers, so I'm not surprised you lost. Mm. You know, their defense is the shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just say, hey, I'm proud of my guys. We're going to get better. This is the first stop. I'm happy, but we want to keep getting better. But just to be all pouty and like, you the face, man, of the franchise. Exactly. You lost.
Deal with it, man. You got to man up and deal with it, man. You're not going to win every game. You're going to lose tough battles. I mean, look at the way Tom Brady took his loss yesterday. I mean, he didn't play well. Nope. So, I mean, you're going to have a lot of people who are like, well, pointing the fingers at Tom Brady. And he took it in stride. He manned up and was just like, you know, I didn't play up to my abilities. You know, Denver Broncos, they played well. They did a good job. And, you know, we just didn't play well enough to win. Period. You didn't have to go into this whole soliloquy about. And honestly, if you didn't want to answer questions about the whole Colin Kaepernick taunting you, don't answer them. Mm-hmm. Be like, look, he did it. Everybody does it. It's not the first time somebody's did it. But, you know, I'm not worried about that. I'm pissed off because we lost. I'm not worried about him taunting me on the field.
Because you knew it was coming.
And leave it at that. Exactly. You knew it was going to come, so leave it at that. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they don't get PR classes or how to talk to the media or what. But I'm like, dude, y'all should know how to. I know your emotions are running high, but at the same time, you got to know how to talk to the media. I mean, you got to.
Same thing with RG3 with his little comment on Facebook, and y'all don't know what it's like and what I'm dealing with. And like, I know I don't. Dude, you're the star quarterback of a NFL franchise.
A big-time NFL franchise. Yes.
I see you eating Subway commercials and you getting all these endorsements, so... You know, no, it's not fair that you're going to get heat blamed for your team losing. No. I'm like, it's not fair.
But it comes
with it. I
need
you to keep coming and explaining to me, well, I don't know. Dude, you're a celebrity. So what? You got a new – are you watching the Super Bowl? Are you concerned about that? No? Okay. Take your time off. Rest. Get to know your new coach.
Exactly.
Figure out what you're going to do about getting better.
And stay the hell off the internet, man. And stop reading what people are saying about you. Who cares what they say? So, like, this to me, this shows me mentally you're a little weak because you're letting the outsiders basically dictate what you do in your day to day and how you function in your life. Be yourself. Don't worry about what they say because they're gonna say whatever they want, and just move on, dude.
You gotta have thick skin.
Thank you.
You have to, like. Nobody understands what I'm going through.
Dude, I work at the bank. You don't understand what I go through on a day-to-day.
You know, you got, I would decide to wear green shoes instead. You're like, dude, play. I know you said, well, I have to go up and make and do interviews out during the week. And I'm like, but you ain't got to keep crying during the interview.
You know what you want to do? To get people off your back, you know what you need to do? Win.
Yep.
Once you do that, the critics will shut up.
Yeah, I didn't see you have a problem with it your rookie season.
Nobody said a word. You got nothing but love. You got shined with nothing but love. And then you sucked. And now you see what happens when you suck.
No, just
the fish will turn on you real quick.
Yeah, if you don't know what to say, just stick to the usual topic. Both team played hard.
Just bore us.
It's all about us giving 100%.
I give 100%. I give 110%. Hey, RG3, how's your wife doing? Yeah, I give 110%.
I'm just tired. Don't do another one.
Yeah, just stop talking, dude.
Get on Facebook, Twitter, having to comment on
none
crap.
None of that here, dude. Just
jeez.
Hush.
We know fans is idiots. Not all of us, but a lot of us are, and we just don't get it. So don't worry about them.
Hey, real quick though, I want to give a shout out, and hopefully he has a quick recovery to Navarro Bowman. I know, definitely. A lot of y'all saw that nasty. Injury he had to his knee yesterday. That's going to be a big loss for the Niners, especially to start out the next season. He, along with Patrick Willis, form a huge tandem at the inside linebackers, and without him, that's going to be big. He's their all-pro, and he's going to be missed.
Yeah, it's 20
miles. I mean, what is so messed up, and I feel bad for him. I'm like, even with all that, he took the ball away from old dude.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it should have been a fumble.
It should have been
even
a ball.
Even with his knee all jacked up. I'm like, hey.
He should have had the ball.
He's a beast. He is a man child right there, boy.
Yeah, we seen Sherman and them, you know, wish him the best of health.
Yeah.
And not wishing anything like that. Of
and
course,
that's respect.
Of course,
motherfuckers
on Twitter. Oh, why come he? Now he want to be nice. I'm like.
That's respect.
That's not Crabtree.
That's exactly. It's like why. That's why I said he doesn't like or respect Cap Crabtree.
He called out them fans who was throwing food on him and all that because he was like, "That's not a representative of the 12th man." And that was Bush League by them fans.
It was.
You know, it's like, oh, he already hurt. He's leaving. He's hurt.
Exactly.
According to y'all, you should be feeling good. Why you got to throw crap at him? See? Exactly. Y'all fanatics, stop. We hate y'all motherfuckers.
And y'all can't be hypocrites. Y'all can't talk shit about Richard Sherman and then all of a sudden throw garbage on a player while he's down. Richard Sherman doesn't hit a nigga while he's down. And I mean, secondly, it's a respect factor. He respects Navarro Bowman. He knows how hard he works. He knows, you know, the work this cat puts into being an all-pro like he is. He respects him. He does not respect Michael Crabtree. He doesn't like him nor respect him, which is why he went off on that tangent about him. You don't see him now talking smack about Colin Kaepernick. He's not talking smack about Anquan Boldin because he respects Anquan Boldin. It's a respect factor. If he respects you, he's not going to talk shit about you. If he doesn't, he will let you have it.
Right. If y'all want some people y'all want to talk about, let's talk about Devon Best tweeting a photo of himself watching TV, and he got like a blunt out there and some weed in the picture that he tweeted. Like, what the? You don't care.
Apparently, there's a little issue out there because when he was traded from Miami to Cleveland, apparently Miami did not let Cleveland know that he's got some problems. They just kind of they was like, all right, you can have him, take him. And then of course the Browns signed him to a 3-year extension, so now he's stuck with him.
Then you got Darren Sharper.
Hey man, that's serious.
Yeah, that is.
That ain't no joke. Talking about he raped someone. Hey,
you know,
I do not promote that at all. I look down on people who do that shit. So I hope for his sake that he is innocent on that regard, because if he's not, he has completely lost all my respect.
Oh, yeah, arrested on suspicion of rape and 3 separate sexual assaults. Mm-hmm. NFL Network suspending him without pay.
Oh, without question. Quickly.
Definitely.
Oh, without question. And kudos to NFL Network for acting swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
So, they waiting. They just waiting to hear the verdict, because if he's innocent, fine. We may allow you back after some, you know, some counseling or whatnot. Oh, but if you find that G word, son, you're done.
Yeah.
Done.
And then let's get into some quick coaching moves before we get out of the NFL. Rex Ryan, multi-year extension. Did not see that coming.
Not at all.
Especially not the beginning of the season. Mm-mm. I mean, they looked awful. Mark Sanchez getting hurt. But he went back to what he does, which is run the ball, playing strong defense, trying to limit your quarterback's mistakes. Yes, that's funny because his quarterback is yo-yoing. So, you know.
I think the new GM saw the potential and saw that, you know, with a formidable offense, they can be pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the GM now is like, all right, fine. You know, defense is your specialty. I will work on getting you the required pieces for the offense, you know, to hopefully take this team to the next level. Because right now, offensively, they're horrendous. They have nothing. So they're basically starting from scratch. So I'm sure the GM will do his part, try to get him some weapons, maybe a quarterback in the draft or maybe a free agent quarterback, I don't know, and some receivers perhaps, but something's got to be done because that offense is, God, they're terrible.
Yeah, they are. But he did prove something. They actually did. They fought, so I had to give him that. And, you know, he's been a pretty good coach, so, you know, it's like, hey, why not? We'll just get an extension.
Exactly.
And, you know, keep the peace, because it ain't like it was a gang of coaches out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had talked about Kim Wisenhunt not seeming to be focused. There's got to be some up, because I am really surprised that he went to Tennessee. Yeah. You know, we had Jim Caldwell, who is going to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Great pickup for them. You know, Tony Dungy was trying to get them to get Jim Caldwell. You know, clearly they wanted Kim Wisenhunt, and he dicked them.
Mm-hmm.
They sent a plan to get him. He was like, nah. You know, I heard supposedly he went more, because I was like, you're an offensive guy. Why would you not want to go to the team that's got the offensive pieces?
Exactly.
Tennessee ain't got no offense.
Exactly. So, I mean, I heard there was more money involved, which is why he went to Tennessee, which I'm sure they had to be. I mean, because clearly Detroit's the better team. But we'll see. So, I mean, good luck to Ken Wisenhunt. We'll see what he can do, and
good luck.
Good luck, because I heard they're gonna release Chris Johnson. So
Whoa.
Yep.
If that's the case, you pick incorrectly.
Yeah. Because he making too much money, he talks too much smack, and he don't produce. So that's a combination to get released.
Yep, and Jim Caldwell, you know, he worked wonders for Peyton Manning.
Kudos. He's
the head coach and offensive coordinator there. So I hope they can get something straight in Detroit, because Detroit has some potential. I hope he keeps that team disciplined and on their feet, because that's what they seem to need, because they just out of control.
Well, he's already come out and said he intends to work with Matthew Stafford, get him a little bit better and get his fundamentals under control a little bit.
Yeah. So, make sure he wears his hat frontward and not backwards. Yes, that's stupid. Wear your hat the way you want to. So what? Well, we're going to come right back. We're going to talk some quick NBA before we get out of here. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lincoln Sports Happy Hour. Jonathan loves that. Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Like we said, y'all got any comments? Y'all want to vent? Talk some mess? Yeah, I know Enrique Black, Rashani, y'all want to talk some mess because your team is in the Super Bowl. KJ, your team came up a little short. Y'all want to vent? Hey, any of y'all want, got anything y'all want to speak on? Hit us up. Email us to brotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @brotherslayman. Leave a voicemail for us, 323-455-4219. And we will read all of this and or play your voicemail on the show.
Definitely. Hey, hit us up. Let us know. If y'all got any questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all want to know, any future fantasy picks that you should look out for, anything of that nature. If any y'all got any joints y'all want to throw on the show, let us know.
Yep. Well, if you haven't voted, today is the last day. Vote for them all-star teams. I saw the last one that came out a couple weeks ago. Of course, LeBron James is in the lead.
Of course.
As of right now, you got LeBron James, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony in the front court, D. Wade and Kyrie Irving in the back court for the East. For the West, you got Kevin Durant, Dwight Howard, Blake Griffin. Although Kevin Love ain't too far behind. In the back court, you got Kobe and Steph Curry. Hey, man, I got to say, that looks like I don't think it's going to change. You know what? I did not think that somebody was going to pass Chris Paul for starting point guard. But I did wonder, would Steph Curry be the one to do it? And he clearly has, man. I am very surprised at what he was able to do. Steph Curry has now become a huge fan favorite, of course, with his shooting and all that. So this is probably going to be a back and forth battle.
Yeah, without question. So Steph Curry, I mean, he's made that leap. He is now.
Yeah, he's a
he's an all-star. He's a superstar.
Oh yeah, so people crapped on last. How come he ain't make it? How come nobody made him? And they ain't vote him.
But I thought Chris Paul would make it over Kobe Bryant's ass.
No, we know. Kobe
so it looks like he's gonna be back and can try to play in the game. Fine, I guess if he wants to. But
if he doesn't make it, who do you think the
Chris Paul
should be voted in?
Yes.
Okay.
Without question. He should be voted in right now over Kobe's non-playing ass.
You know he's not. You know people don't care when they injured. We just going to vote him in anyway.
Ridiculous, man.
Let's talk about the Lakers real quick. First off, the Nick Young situation where he's having to go 1-on-5 and calling out his teammates. Now, they have won 2 straight since after that meeting, but what was your reaction to that?
I agree with Nick Young. 100%. Are you kidding me? If you watch the film, he was 1-on-5 pretty much. He got knocked down. He got knocked down. You had some cat. You had nothing but Phoenix players around. Marquise Moore, one of the Morris brothers, was the one who was going to help him up. And then he exploded. And, I mean, you look at, and he, I mean, once he pushed Alex Lynn, he was surrounded by Phoenix players. There was no Laker in sight. So, I mean, you had your bench players, but they couldn't leave. So,
right. Even they may want to get out. Like Wes Allen said, he would have been there, but he on the bench.
I can't knock him for what he said. Mm-hmm. He called it. He called it like it was.
He was frustrated.
He was pissed.
Yeah.
He had a right to be.
He didn't have to take that swing, you know.
That's like getting jumped and your boys are just standing there watching you.
Yeah, I always thought you have to at least go there, and if you're not
break him up. Break him up or something.
Get your boy and be like, all right, come on, man, come on. You don't have to run up there to get in another person's face. You just need to run up and be there.
Yeah, you ain't got a Matt Barnes, nobody.
Nah, you don't. You know, but at least feel like, hey, calm down, Nick. We got you.
At least make him feel like y'all got his back a little bit.
Yeah, because he took a swipe at the face in the air. And ain't nobody just like, it's almost like nobody came. There was one Laker looked like that was there.
Oh, Ryan Kelly, but he was intimidated. You could tell. He was just like, I don't know if I should, with all these Phoenix players around. And it's like, come on, dude, man up. Help your boy up. Get him up. I'd have pushed dudes out the way. Move. Help my teammate up. And that's what you got to do. I mean, that shows the tight-knit group. And I mean, we were all saying stuff when RG3 got knocked out in that Philadelphia Eagles game and nobody come to help up RG3. Yep. Same kind of situation. I mean, there's no chemistry on this team. Mike D'Antoni has lost this team. He lost it last year. It's just carrying over this year. Pau Gasol is not interested, and he wants to be traded. Kobe Bryant ain't going to do it. They're second to last in the West. That's just what it is. Frustration has mounted.
Yeah, I see Magic Johnson's comments in the paper where he was like, Jim Buss basically is doing a piss-poor job.
Yep.
And Pat Riley would have gotten stuff shaped up. You know, of course, you know, with the Phil Jackson, wouldn't allow that. Lakers is going through transition period now. That regime is done.
Yep.
You know, Dr. Buss and Jerry West and all that. Like, you know, Mitch Kupchak is good, but clearly he is not I guess what you would call an elite GM.
Yeah.
Because if he was an elite GM, they'd probably have some better things around him.
Without question.
You know, and let's be honest, for all y'all Laker fans, well, it's the Lakers, blah, 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 people won't come here. Like, your management sucks. We always talk about with these franchises that it works from the top down. If management sucks, nobody wants to come. No. Like Cleveland Browns. They can't get it together. Nobody want to go there.
Nobody wants that head coach position. And I mean, it's like your day-to-day job. You don't want to go work for a boss that's a dick.
No.
Or that you just can't trust.
Like you said, like Miami Heat, run great. San Antonio Spurs, run great.
I mean, even the Bulls, I mean, they're in turmoil, but they're a pretty solidly run organization.
Right. You have some trust in that organization. Yeah. You know, Portland's done their job. Oklahoma City. If you want to argue the Harden trade, whatever.
San Antonio.
But the Lakers now.
Even the Clippers now.
Right. You know, but the Lakers, I don't know what
y'all are doing at all. I don't know what direction y'all are headed in. Nothing. I don't know.
I ever heard one of the local radio guys, he was like, I give up. I'm done. I give up. I don't know what the hell these teams is doing. I don't know what the Lakers are doing. What do they want to do?
That's the thing. They have no direction. All they're thinking is, okay, we're just going to go into next season with a shitload of cap space, and everybody's going to want to come here.
Basically, you have a 2-year window to try to rebuild. Basically, the next 2-3 years, you're trying to get a championship contending team together.
Kobe better put that recruiting hat on because he going to need it.
Mm-hmm. Come here to play.
Please. on that Hollywood shuffle. Please. Please.
Kevin Durant went for 54 against Golden State. That was it.
Golden State plays no D.
For some reason, now people still don't want to give him no love for MVP. You know, with LeBron James.
That's just hateration, man. I'm so sick of all these haters hating on Kevin Durant for scoring so many points and all clutch. That.
You seen him versus Memphis. He was.
I'm sorry I have to do everything. I'm sorry I have to do everything. I got to carry the load. I got to score all the points and rebound and assist and all that. Like, he lost Russell Westbrook again.
He been balling. And then you got, what was it, the Rockets? Up 73 points in the first half. Don't even get to 20 in the second half.
Overrated, like I have said since the beginning of the season. Yes, overrated. They play no defense, man. None. How you get Dwight Howard, who was a three-time defensive player of the year, and your defense still don't improve?
Well, their perimeter defense is trash.
Complete.
You know, they just got to work it out. Yes, but they are overrated.
Big time.
People had them hyped up. Y'all got a year more pieces to go to be on the championship level.
Just get rid of him.
Because you ain't better than Portland, who y'all play today. You ain't better than Oklahoma City.
No.
And your show as hell ain't better than San Antonio.
Not at all. So, are y'all better than the Clippers? I don't think y'all are.
Probably not. So, it's the battle in the West, baby. And got to give a shout out, Clayton Kershaw. Paid.
Called it. Once again, let me pat myself on the back. I said 10 years, 300. Annual salary matches out to about 300 mil over 10 years. He got 7 years, 21. What do you want?
Yeah, 218 mil.
Are you kidding? He was smart about it, though. He can opt out after 5 years and re-sign for another big-time contract. Smart man who ain't even reached his prime yet. He's a genius. This is why Mike Trout's getting $400 million. He finna get $500 million. Watch. Watch.
He definitely gonna hit the watch mark for sure. For the show. We want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. You can find our podcast on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Just look under the Black Is and you will find us there. You can also check out the homepage, blackisonline.com. Please leave us any comments, any feedback on any of those on Stitcher. Give us a thumbs up if you like what you hear. You know, and if you like it, leave a comment on iTunes. We like the 5-star variety. But just, right. Hey, give us what you want. We just want to see. We just love comments. You can also hit us up via email, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @brotherslehman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219. We also want to thank Big B and 15 Word Assassin for Indeed Show for coming on last week. Sorry, y'all, that didn't come up early enough. Brother got sick early in the week. And, you know, we got a lot of good podcasts out here.
Yeah.
You know, we just dropped The Jam, hosted by Merc 80. Hope y'all check that one out. We're going to be recording another one pretty soon.
Mm.
And, of course, we got The Break, hosted by Casey Lehman and Coach Connection, Brother Malcolm. A lot of great podcasts to check out. So please check out us at Black Is Online.
That's right. Definitely appreciate y'all listening. For those of y'all who are new listeners, hey, definitely appreciate y'all coming on board. For those of y'all continuous listeners, thank you for continuing to listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Tell your mamas, your daddies, your sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles. You know, your kids, your babies, your friends' babies, your aunts. Hey, tell aunts, ducks, gerbils, you know, lizards. I don't care. Tell everybody about the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla. Go Broncos.
You will be punished for all your evil deeds. You will suffer.
Slept on this hazardous enterprise. Hit from the back from a long range attack in disguise. Weeks of captivity became months. Those who were holding it down to hold a punk. Do we delay the conflict and prolong the suffer? Not a mass of starving niggas wanna eat supper. Unfair corruptions lead to abductions. Create wider circles of destructions. So we attack with the cannon blazing. From the terrifying to the fascinating. Quick to slay your narrow-minded nigga that's hasty to give credit. Full of hostile overtones mixed with whack edits. They heavily defend the airfields, but their bodies rot behind puncture stills. When I greeted you, you didn't hear a piece of my voice, or that water was my liquid of choice. Forensic couldn't tell it, it was 9 tons of steel pellets. Powerful projection, noise is deafening. Carrier battle groups that's threatening. High level bombing, plus the shipping and handling is alarming. Bells ring loud, in the same boots, your man of a different style. Yeah. Hey yo, once again, more blunts again. Yo, the real remains silent. Any type of balance I'm in. Allah's help for most innovative raps that boy wealth through. Shout out the belts too. We holding automatic semis with sick lines. Run up body niggas, break down shoddy niggas. Style so sharp, state of the art, greater than Mark. Flies created, spray laying darts, flowing like water. Apocalypse now, gun out, blow. Wadder shit's wild when you short us. Running through parking lots, don't get caught. Let off barking shots, we out of here. Off the
it
blocks.
Ain't all to the good. Motherfuckers hating in the hood. Got 100 walls waiting in the woods for the class forthcoming. I miss you when the game of court summons. And fugitives of rap caught running, y'all get locked up. Everything was whack till we popped up and got it on and popping like Overette and Baca. Partner, you ain't got no wins in Mikasa. Wu-Tang got you, like every ghetto got a Tasha. Request lines are now open. You see these MCs choking and thinking what that shit they be smoking. I'm so focused, simple chronic halitosis. Keep my shit funky when I spit this braggadocious. Y'all niggas got them fucking nerve. The critic what I write, that's my motherfucking word. Blah, 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 like in sync, kick that ass, bye, bye, bye. Know what I'm saying? I ain't playing.
Many shall come, you chose to stay exact. Track after track, I'm fighting for survival. Before me, I see hills and mountains, they sway. The words got them moving, the crowd is like the ocean. I walk with a total y'all suspended with the vocal. What's the total people that came to see the gods? I gave thought time to construct my best poetry. Poesy, high level content, sound effect, make cause of tech to eject. Many places, all ages, streets to cages, split faces. Shouting up love to the peace of Miami. We live from Pulaski, it's Fred Glassy.